So you are watching a game of cricket or baseball in the United States, and you're watching cricket, and there's a tail-ender batsman batting, you know, 10th and 11th, and there's a fast bowler, and he puts the ball at full pace, 90 miles an hour, or, you know, the pitcher. And this tail-ender has no idea what to do with the ball because he's a bowler, he's not a batsman. And so he just swings, whatever it comes to his mind, with eyes closed. And one or two balls he gets out because he doesn't know how to judge. But on the other hand, the next batsman is an opening batsman, and he's seen pace bowling all the time. He knows as soon as the ball leaves the bowler or the pitcher's hand, he knows exactly what kind of ball is it. It's going to be a short pitch ball, a full length ball, or in baseball, is it going to be a cutter or a, you know, curve ball or whatever. And so instantly, as soon as the ball lands, he knows whether it's in swing, out swing. Accordingly, he does his footwork and, you know, puts the ball either on the offside or onside, or if it's a short pitch, he hits it over the boundary for a six, because he knows how to deal with situations and he has the situation under his control. Similarly, an average, ordinary individual deals with life like that tail-ender. Whatever comes, he just handles it just like that without thinking. He has no control on his mind. He has no control on his actions because he doesn't know. And whatever the world throws at him, he gets out very quickly. He's not able to handle. But a person who has been meditating regularly has his mind under his control. And so whenever a difficult situation comes, his mind knows how to react. And then accordingly, he can position his mind, his body, his intellect to work in the right direction because he has seen the situation. He has seen the fluctuations of the mind. And so that is the benefit of meditation, that it teaches us how to handle. Otherwise, the mind is, oh, my mind is just overwhelming me. I am so stressed. I don't know what to do. I have so many problems. But through meditation, we realize that the mind will have its ups and downs. But I, the consciousness, am able to watch the fluctuations of the mind. And then using my intellect, I'm able to direct the mind, just as the batsman is able to direct his shot, whichever direction he wants. So also the meditator is using his intellect and using his understanding, is able to direct his mind in the right direction. So people always ask, you know, what is the benefit of meditation? The benefit of meditation is not only in the seat of meditation, not only will it bring you closer to God, which are of course wonderful benefits, but also will teach us how to face the world and handle all the fluctuations of the mind. So I thought this was a very good example I had heard from one of the Swamiji's about why we should meditate and what meditation will do for us. So this is something we all are very familiar with. We just watched the World Cup. So this, I thought, was a very good example. And so far we have talked about in life, one has to do the Karma Yoga, do the activity. And through doing the activities dedicated to the Lord, the vasanas become less, the mind becomes quiet. And that, with that quiet mind, one should sit and meditate. If your mind is agitated, then the meditation will also be. So through meditation, we can quieten the mind. And once the mind is quiet, then what do we do? We'll talk about that. And last week, we had talked about Yogi Yunjita Satanam. Satatam Atmanam Rahasi Sthitaha Ekaki Yatachitatma Nirashira Parigraha. So he says the yogi, meditator, should sit alone in a quiet place. Meditation should be done as an individual activity. Do it quietly without advertising to the whole world. And stay in the present. Do not worry about what am I going to get out of meditation, what will happen. And reduce your possessions. And at that time, I own nothing. I am not a mother. I am not a father. I am not a Son, I'm not a businessman. I'm not a manager. I am a seeker of truth. So that's what we had studied last time. And it said satatam means the mind should be constantly focused on the Lord, on the goal of meditation. So now Bhagavan is continuing his instructions. Today's three verses will give us instructions on what to do with the body and what to do with the mind in meditation. And so that's what we will be covering today. And a lot of detail. We'll see that in the Bhagavad Gita, every detail has been taken care of in very short strokes. In one or two words, Bhagavan has completely covered the topic of meditation. So verse number 11, chapter 6, verse number 11. Shuchau deshe pratishthapya.
Shuchau deshe pratishthapya.
Sthiram asanam atmanah. Natyuchritam nati nicham. Chailajina kushottaram. Together. Shuchau deshe pratishthapya. Sthiram asanam atmanah. Natyuchritam nati nicham. Chailajina kushottaram. So, Bhagavan says, Shuchau deshe. Deshe means place, shuchau means clean. So, shuchau deshe pratishthapya. Sit in a clean place. That's very important. We'll talk about that. And sthiram and steady. Again and again, Bhagavan emphasizes steady. Steadiness of body, steadiness of mind. Asanam atmanaha. And asana means the seat where I'm sitting. The seat should be my own seat. So the meditation seat should be my own. Should not be shared. We'll talk about that. And how should the asana, the seat be? Na ati uchritam. Neither too high. Na ati nicham. Nor too low. Should be in a stable place. And three things are required in the seat. Chaila is a cloth, ajina is a skin, and kusha is a kusha grass. So, kusha grass, then an animal skin, and then a cloth, one on top of the other, uttaram. That is what the instruction is. So, let us spend a little time talking about it. So, why should the place be clean? Because they say that a clean place equals a clean mind. That's why if you go to somebody's house and there's things scattered all over, the closet is a mess, the things are on the floor, his desk is a mess, his papers all over, that shows that this person's mind is also disorganized. You know, if their house is a mess, their desk is a mess. So if the place is clean, that means at least my mind is clean. Also, when we sit, if there's a place where there's a lot of insects or mosquitoes, in the olden days, people used to meditate in the woods or in the forest or in the mountains. And if there was insects and mosquitoes and bugs crawling around, then obviously that will disturb us. Also for us, if there's a lot of dust or if that place is not clean, then your mind will be disturbed. So place should be clean. A clean body, a clean mind, in a clean place. Same way I should have, you know, my body should be clean before I sit for meditation. Asana, how should the asana be? The asana should be steady, should not be unstable. Like, so don't sit in a waterbed, you know, where when you're sitting there, you know, you're rocking from side to side. And my body should be completely steady. And for the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I'm not going to move. That should be my determination. I will not move, no matter what happens. You know, I'll keep my body firm. Not that if you move, that there will be some great tragedy will happen, but one should be able to discipline one's body and discipline one's mind. So don't keep scratching and looking and moving and thinking and stretching your neck and all. Do that before, but while I am sitting for meditation, as far as possible, I should be stable. Now the asana, the seat, should be my own. What they mean is that suppose there are two or three members in the house meditating, each one should have their own seat. You can buy these very reasonable seats. You know, if you want one with a back, you can buy them. Or just sit with a blanket on the floor. You know, you can sit in a chair or sit with your back against the wall, whatever is comfortable. But if you're choosing a seat, it should be my own, because each one of us has our vibrational energy. So when you keep sitting in one place constantly, so that's why people say this is my seat in the house. So what happens is that place becomes infused with my energy. So if a lot of people are sharing that meditation seat, all their energies are being intermixed, and the idea is that the mind should be calm, and so the energy should be. So asanam atmana, it should be my asana. Na ati uchritam, na ati nicham, neither too high nor too low. So like people, some people say you should meditate on the mountain. That is good, but then on the mountain, don't go on the extreme tip, you know, or near the edge or somewhere, or don't meditate on a tree. You know, you say, I don't want to be with the lower energy. Yeah, but there you are, when you're sitting, you're all the time worried, you know, you might fall, you might. Actually, when we went to this PRC camp, I remember a few years back, and the topic was meditation, and they were doing 6th chapter and Kaivalya Upanishad, and at the end of it, they had a skit where they were making fun of some of the ideas, just a humorous skit. And so they made this skit about, he said, neither too high nor too low. So this man put 6 pillows. He says, and he sat, he says, you know, he's very unsteady, or he'll go under the stage, you know, very low. So the point is that neither it should be too high nor it should be too low. So people say, I want to be in a quiet place. So they go down in the basement or down in the cellar. And they say there you have a chance of things will be cold or will be damp, you know. So it should be on level ground, neither too high nor too low. And also the seat should be stable. And it says, chaila ajina kusha. Chaila is cloth, ajina is skin, and kusha is grass. So you need kusha grass, you need a animal skin, and you need cloth. So people say, you know what, wait a minute. I have to go to the Himalayas. First, I have to buy kusha grass when I come. Okay, then you came. Now what? Now give me a gun, because now I have to go find a deer or a tiger whom I can shoot so I can get the tiger skin or deer skin, because Bhagavan says you should have these 3 things. See, those things were said at that time because people were meditating in the Himalayas or in the forests, and you know, it was cold and it was damp and it had rained. So the kusha grass when it was compacted, raised the meditator off the ground. It was because it had solidity, it was thick. And on top of that, they put an animal skin, and they didn't kill an animal who had died naturally, the deer skin or the tiger skin, and that it becomes an insulation. See, because it can be get very cold or very hot, so the skin becomes an insulator. And then the skin, should people may have allergies or sweat, so they put a white cotton cloth. So in those days, you know, that was the meditation seat. That's why it's said here. But for us, we don't have to go out looking for kusha. I'm going to wait till I have, you know, have it shipped. I've told my uncle to go to the Himalayas. No. I can just put a, you know, nice piece of cloth, maybe a blanket folded over 4 times or something, because we all have carpeted in our house. We don't have bugs or flies, or we don't have humidity. So that was given at that time what was required. Now I should just have a comfortable seat with a nice blanket or a, you know, something just folded over, or a thin little mattress, not too thick. You know, as I said, if it is too thick, then you will be sinking. Or if you are sitting on the bare floor, we are not used to nowadays, so then your body will hurt and you'll be moving around. So most important is it should be a comfortable seat. And then the teachers warn us that do not go into paraphernalia, if you go on the internet, you know, they have meditation seat, and then they have meditation pillow, and then they have meditation music, and then they have meditation incense, and then they have meditation sound waves that if you put on the earphone, it will change your waves into alpha waves. You know, all that will be sold. So they said, be careful. You know, all you need is a simple seat. You need a mantra that you can chant, and you need to have the right knowledge. So don't go overboard unnecessarily buying things or going over it. And it should be comfortable. And we already talked about why the seat should be my seat. And then the room should not be too much cluttered. If possible, have a meditation room, if you have a small puja room. Or pick a place where you can meditate in the same spot every day. Don't meditate in the kitchen. Because in the kitchen, when you sit, what are you thinking of? Food, cooking. Don't meditate in the family room where there is a TV. Because when you're sitting there, you're thinking of TV, or you're thinking of parties, you know, people or what. So do it in the solitude and select a quiet time. It should be preferably done early in the morning before the traffic has started, before the phone is ringing. Don't have your cell phone, you know, turn it off. If you have children, before the children wake up. So the morning is the best time. If somebody cannot meditate in the morning, has to be at work at 5 in the morning, then we say end of the day is fine too, after all the work is over and the dishes are put away and the children are